Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. And this is a special edition because this is the pre-All-Star Break edition, and that means we won't have a podcast next week. So you've got to really absorb this episode to get your full Razzball fix. I'm joined.
Come on, Nick. You say every episode's special. It's like we're Blossom or something.
As long as it's not a very special episode in the back of a Nick's bicycle shop.
I like banana splits.
But every episode is special here because I'm joined, as always, by two of the greatest analysts in the fantasy universe. You know what? In the fantasy, what's bigger than the universe?
The galaxy system?
No, I think the universe is actually biggest. Anyway, as usual, I'm joined by Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. The two guys that bring you
we can ask our
amateur astronomers, obviously.
We can ask our very special guest coming on later, Stephen Hawking. Did I blow the surprise?
Sorry, you caught me off guard.
I've talked to him on fantasy baseball before. Very condescending.
Oh, that's good stuff. So you guys want to get right into some baseball chit-chat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably just maybe I'll just play this episode again next week. I don't think people are, it's July 4th tomorrow, so I don't know if anyone's listening right now. But if you are, hey, glad you're listening. Okay, let's go.
So let's start with this. I know, Rudy, you were watching a couple of the games today, and I'm going to bring up two starting pitchers who both got lit up, Tim Lincecum and Roy Oswalt. But I'll give you two different questions. Is Lincecum done? And then for Oswalt, is there enough time in the season for him to get back into form to help the Rangers?
Okay, well, on Lincecum, I don't think he's done. I think he's, I'd say he's done winning Cy Young Awards. That's never happening again. You know, I do think he's the type that's peaking early in his career, and he's never going to reach that peak again. The velocity's, I mean, he's lost 5+ miles per hour on his fastball. It's turned from a devastating pitch to a, I'd say probably below average pitch right now.
Is that a changeup? Nope, that was the fastball.
Yeah, so, but he's still, his strikeout rate's still there. You know, he is killing. He's killing us on a 15 team league where he seems just just good enough that you want to start and believe in the xFIP and all that, but he got crushed again today. He can't get guys out in scoring position. He can't pitch from the stretch this year. It could be a fluke statistically, but it's there's such a wide disparity between his stats when there's no one on versus men on that he can't be a successful pitcher the way he's with those splits right now. So
right.
I think he's, if you've stuck with him this long in a 12-team league, I pat you on the back for your patience. You might want to go into like a career in hospice or something like that. but ditch him now. After this week, I mean, we'll see how his other start goes, but he might be just perma-benched on our 15-team league. The crazy thing is, Greg, did you realize that his Do you realize we're still like fourth or fifth in ERA going into today, even with his turd of a season?
Yeah. In a 15-team league? I know. It's the, I mean, he really is the poison pill because of the whole, like, history behind him, and you want to believe with the XFIP, and you just keep constantly starting him, and you're hoping for the turnaround, but it's just, it doesn't look very good. I don't know.
You know how in, like, those, you know, like, in they always talk about, like, how, like, the knuckleballers get together and trade tips? Lincecum should go hang out with Jamie Moyer in the offseason. Train with him.
Yeah.
He's got to learn to change speeds that much more. Fastball is only at 89. He's got to throw that changeup at like 79.
So let me ask you this then, Gray. Let me pop this over to you. Is there any chance that Lincecum, I know it was talked about this year, but is there any chance that he goes to the pen and maybe becomes a closer? I don't mean this year necessarily, but in his future.
Well, first, to back up a second, I think we actually, about a month or two ago, we said people should start looking at alternative options with Lincecum. I think we were talking about dropping him.
Oh, you did?
In 12-team mixed league, yeah. And things haven't really gotten better. I mean, there was like maybe a sign that possibly he was turning things around, but he never yeah, he's got a...
Somebody got Cleveland streamed.
Stream in the Lincecum. The, it sounds like a vast deference problem. I think maybe they try him out in closer. I mean, he's not doing that this year. He, right now, there's probably a good chance that he's going to... I mean, he's probably going to be put into long relief, I think, at some point this year. And then maybe next year he figures out something in his mechanics. Maybe he was tipping pitches. I don't know. There's something obviously off right now. He's not a 6 ERA pitcher. He's either, you know, maybe he's in his own head. Maybe he's psyching himself out. I don't know. But he's definitely not. He's not this bad. Yeah. But he's not. I don't think he's the 2.5 ERA guy we saw before.
Okay, here's I'm predicting, because he definitely blew it in not signing a longer term contract with the Giants.
Yep.
I would have taken whatever, you know, I would have just taken like a Jared Weaver contract, $15 million a year, because there's so much uncertainty with pitchers. Kane struck gold, I think, with a 5-year $100 million. But here's what I predict with Lincecum. In a year from now, he's pitching for the Mariners.
Oh.
He went to University of Washington. I think he went to Washington. He's familiar with that area. He needs to pitch in a big ballpark.
Are we doing an over under? Maybe December 15th of 2013.
Well, I don't know if his contract ends. Is he a free agent next year?
I believe it's after next year.
It's 2013 after next year.
Well, I mean, after this year, I mean, the problem is I don't know how you start the season with him.
He'll probably get traded.
Okay. Before, so going into opening day 2014, he is wearing a Mariner uniform.
All right. Now,
might be the ball boy. he might be flag involved third base, but... I call Mariners.
Just because I don't want to lose too many of our listeners to jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, let's get off the Tim Lincecum track here. But what about, let's go back to the first part of the question. Gray, what do you think about Roy Oswalt the rest of the season?
Well, I don't know. I don't love Texas Ranger pitchers. I think Oswalt probably needed spring training, and he's getting up to speed. Because his upside wasn't really, you know, it wasn't really a one or a two anyway for fantasy, he's droppable, and he's definitely, I think he could come around maybe in September and have a good month, but he's not someone you really are that tied to anyway, because you probably just picked him up recently.
Any objection to that, Rudy?
No, I mean, the thing that surprised me is that he's actually, his velocity has been pretty solid. But I think Texas is a tough place to pitch. I don't really love him at all. I don't have him in any teams, and I'm pretty happy about that. I think maybe a streaming candidate against bad teams is perfectly fine. I mean, he won, I think, his first two games. Probably, you know, do more to the Texas offense than anything else. So I'd consider him just a streaming option now, against a team like the White Sox.
Well, you saw him in the minor league game. You said he didn't even look good.
He wasn't really fooling anyone. There were a few just balls that were crushed against an awful AAA team. So I think, it could be. I mean, to Nick's point, can he find it this season? If the velocity is there, it may be just be touch and location, and maybe he does find that. But it's pretty cruel pitching in Arlington. So I'd consider him just a streaming candidate in shallow leagues and deeper leagues. It depends on your situation. I'd try to avoid him, but I mean, he's obviously startable in an AL only league.
Okay. So it is the
when do the Rangers go to Seattle?
or Oakland.
Right.
Don't pitch to Brandon Moss.
Yeah, seriously. So it is the 4th of July this week, so a very happy 4th of July to everyone celebrating. It was the 1st of July in Canada, which is our national holiday, National Beaver Day.
You had to one-up us, right? You had to go with July 1st.
You
couldn't do July 5th.
It is the day that we do release the beavers from the traps. So, it's a very historic day here. But it was actually a very sad day.
I think I saw that in a reenactment of that in Montreal.
You would have probably in the 90s.
Was that Les Super Sex, maybe?
You would have seen that in the 90s, but now they went through a Brazilian phase, and now it's pretty much a hairless beaver. Also known as the Siamese beaver. So
use that in the stand up with Scott the engineer. That's good.
When you hear a Siamese beaver, I would picture like two of them next to each other.
Save the Siamese beaver. Write it down somewhere. It's good.
Yeah.
Well, then it's cold.
It's cold.
Wait. You got
July 4th is also Rudy's birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, Rudy.
Thank you. Real live nephew of our Uncle Sam.
Although we wouldn't want to celebrate your birthday on the 4th of July, because that would be a little unpatriotic to ignore the great American nation's birthday, I think.
No, that's when you celebrate.
Look, if any of you want to shoot off fireworks and potentially blow off some fingers, there's now two reasons to do it.
And listen, if anyone wants a tour of Club Super Sex in Montreal to go see some Siamese beavers, I am happy to be your tour guide.
You want Brazilian wax or Siamese beaver?
One opens a Labatt while the other opens a Molson.
And they speak the French. But again, getting to my point here, back to baseball, was that it was a very somber day this year, and that's because the whole nation held their collective breaths until we got news on Joey Votto's knee inflammation.
Yeah, he's one of the greatest Canadians of our time. Right after Marquis de St. Lawrence, whoever founded Canada, I don't know. Was it Marquis de St. Lawrence? Did I get the name wrong? No. Americans are not ignorant, just me.
I was going to say, an ignorant Canadian here.
I thought it was John Cabot who discovered it.
That's what I was going to say, Giovanni Caboto. Or John Cabot, eh?
Hey, yeah. Siamese beaver, eh?
Or he at least discovered the Native Americans there.
He discovered Newfoundland.
This podcast has gone off the rails.
It's
a crazy train.
Hey, speaking of which, you can also get that put on your Siamese beaver at Club Super Sex in Montreal. And you can now follow them on Twitter.
Votto we're talking
Votto
about.
Votto we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. He's been a linchpin on the Rudy Gamble's RCL team. That was
should be in my team, bastard.
Yeah. Oh, Cano has like 20 homers. Stop complaining.
yeah, but then I wouldn't have Hosmer. Best.
So yeah, I haven't seen the lineup yet for today to see if Votto's playing in LA. I think there's a chance he sits all week.
No, he's playing today.
He's playing today. It's official.
He's in the lineup. Right.
I wouldn't be surprised then if he sits on Saturday and Sunday, because there's a new rule that if you can only get out of the All-Star game if you like miss both those games, or you get like a doctor's note. and I mean, you know how hard it is to get a doctor's note in Canada.
It's because they're delivering the Siamese beavers. So, all right. So you guys aren't too worried about Joey then?
No.
We're trying to stay optimistic.
Okay. Yeah. Now, let me ask you something. If I told you there was a player this year who actually had a higher batting average than Joey Votto, had almost as many RBIs and as many home runs, except he was a catcher going by the name of Carlos Ruiz, would you call me a liar?
He homered tonight again. I didn't realize he was 33 years old. I thought he was
he's 33.
He's actually the fourth flying Molina. He was Yadier's Siamese.
I don't know
if he's a Latin 33, he's like 37. That's really old to be turning on the power.
I
was just gonna say maybe he's channeling Ryan Howard.
I don't know. In
his absence, since Ryan Howard's channeling hotel television somewhere in AAA or AA, I don't know, wherever he is.
I picture Ryan Howard coming back being like 4,000 pounds.
Yeah, right. they need
1989 Oprah.
Yeah.
Here comes Ryan Howard in a forklift.
Yeah. It's like what... I don't think anyone said, like, what would help Ryan Howard get back into that, 50 homer, seasons that got him that big contract? I think a longer off season. I think more off time is really what Ryan Howard needs to get back into that shape. I think Ruiz and AJ Pazinski are popping stem cells like sunflower seeds.
Yeah, I wasn't actually looking for any analysis on Ruiz. I just wanted to point out that in 233 at bats, he is hitting .356 with 11 homers. So
his luck is incredibly crazy, insane, inflated. He's having a career year for sure.
Yeah, that's got to make the people who drafted Carlos Santana and Joe Mauer feel great.
Yeah, or Brian McCann. Terrible. Okay.
So let's talk about now someone who in 2017 might be trying to sign with the Seattle Mariners as a free agent. What about Trevor Bauer's first start this week, Gray?
Yeah, I watched it. What did I think? I thought he looked a lot like Lincecum. But the good Lincecum, the one that we're not seeing this year. I think he has, he had electric stuff for sure. I wonder what they said before Thomas Edison. With pitchers who had electric stuff.
he had steam
engine stuff. Yeah. He's got really fast horse stuff.
That guy could separate cotton from the seed with his stuff.
He's a witch. Burn him.
So, I mean, obviously we're not going to expect a lot from him.
And then the man-witch was invented. Okay. The history lesson's over. Yeah, no, he looked like he could... He could strike out anyone and potentially walk anyone. He looked a little wild, sort of like a Brandon Moreau or Scherzer.
Moreau?
I was going to say, do I have to bring you to Toronto just to give you a lesson on how to pronounce the Blue Jays names? Because it's like Moreau, Brett Lowry, JP Aaron Sibbia.
Bautista.
Incarnation.
We only mispronounce Blue Jay names, as you notice, just to get under your skin. He just seemed like he was a little, his stuff is a little bit, it's unharnessed. He could strike anyone out, and he's also probably going to walk a bunch of people. So high upside. Hopefully he can harness his control at some point soon.
So he's like a right-handed Matt Moore.
No. Matt Moore is walking a lot of people this year, but I feel like it's not his norm. I think there was something I read that he wasn't using his change as much as he should have been.
His whip was terrible in the minors. I mean, he for the amount of strikeouts he had. I don't know. What do you think, Rudy?
On Bauer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch it, so I was reading through our comments and Gray's analysis. I mean, I think the safe bet with pitchers is, you know, like, bet on stuff. If he's got great stuff, yes. You look at like someone like Morrow. He eventually came around and really, I think put it together this year until he got hurt. I wouldn't overdraft on Bauer. It's inevitable next year, just like it was this year with Matt Moore. And in that case, there's so much that can go wrong as a pitcher. I'm excited to see it. And yeah, I mean, like, don't make the mistake of those that, I think, that first, after Lincecum's kind of half rookie year, he went underdrafted the next year. So if Bauer's available in like by the 10th, 11th round next year, jump on it.
Speaking of mistakes, like picking the Siamese beaver with the spots on it, because beavers should never be spotted. Mark Trumbo is having an outstanding season. I mean, really good season. Is he just another mini, 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 mini donkey? Where does he get drafted next year, Gray?
I don't know. He's probably going to be drafted somewhere in the maybe sixth or seventh round. He looks like, I mean, maybe even higher, maybe where Konerko went this year. He looks like he's probably a 270 hitter rather than the over 300 he's doing right now. But the power looks legitimate. I mean, 30-plus homers for sure and a handful of steals. So as long as Socha doesn't, get any stupid ideas and start platooning him next year, we should be fine for him as a number one in the first base.
Trumbo and Trout. I mean, that's like a marketing company's nightmare.
Why is that?
It's just, can you get two less, melodic names?
I don't know. Well, I like it. Trumbo and Trout. Sounds good. I'll have two of those.
I'd watch that show on TNT.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Isn't Tony Shalhoub in that?
And one of the they had to get someone from Wings and maybe someone who used to be in ER.
Now pitching for the Angels, Chris Belusky.
Yeah, totally. Noah Wiley.
Tony Shalhoub in Trumbo and Trout.
Oh, wow. That was Noah Wiley's only reference in the 2000s. That's awesome.
He was in some miniseries, just found very easy to not watch.
I feel like I've seen Noah Wiley dressed up in like Western outfits or something. Unlike a commercial for a TV movie.
All right, I got one here for you, Rudy.
That was Hootie in the Burger King commercials. It's easy to get those confused.
You're right.
They peaked in the 90s.
Rudy, Colby Rasmus. That was for you, Greg. Looks like he's found the right fit in Toronto. Where does he get drafted next year?
I mean, I think he's in top 10 rounds. I mean, I think he's never going to – he doesn't profile as a good average guy. But a center fielder with 30 homer power, is going to get assured playing time. Looks like they're going to hit him. Right now they're loving him at hitting second. And so in that lineup, I figure he's going to get a ton of runs, solid RBIs. You look at his stats. Other than the power numbers from last year, things haven't changed that much from 2010. It seems like Dwayne Murphy in Toronto has a way of getting people to up the power numbers, but he hasn't really shown any more patience, hasn't shown any more speed, anything like that. He's probably not a guy who's going to be on a ton of my teams next year, but Yeah, I mean, 30 homers, 260 average. I think he could be doing that for the next like 3-4 years.
Right. You got anything on that, Gray?
I might be a little bit more bearish on the homers. Maybe 25 homers, and I could see him going around maybe the 70th pick. Probably a number two outfielder, I would say.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, more or less. Yeah, he has the, he's always had the 25-15 potential. It's just a matter of, you know, maybe he goes a little bit above 25, a little bit below 15, but he's in that range.
Yeah, I'm knocking him down to 10 stolen base. He doesn't seem to, I don't think his dad wants him to steal bases.
I'm not thinking off topic, but, you know, 25-15, 25-10, that used to sound nice. And I know I brought this up before, but everyone's swiping bags right now. I mean, don't you almost have to take a player that gets at least 10 steals at a position every year? Or every player's got to at least have some ability to swipe?
No, I think, I kind of look at that. There's only like three types. I mean, there's the type that are good bet for 30 plus stolen bases. So, and I'm the next one is maybe, you know, somewhere between like 10 and 30. I put guys like Kemp and David Wright who have stolen 30 bases. I'm very conservative on their stolen bases just because they're so valuable to the team. And then there's guys that like a Trumbo. To me, like I would consider Trumbo at best having 4 or 5 stolen bases, and everything else is gravy. I think guys that could steal 30 plus that you feel really confident on, I think they have their value. I try not to get too overwhelmed with the guys that, you know, could go at anywhere, could move from 20 to like 8, depending on manager decision.
Right. Okay.
I saw the Trumbo has 4 steals right now. Eric Ibar, 5 steals.
Right. Wow. And so to me, Ibar was never a 30 stolen base guy. He was like even last year, he had a great year last year for him. And I think he may have got to 25 or something. I feel like, you know, either they get in a slump or their managers lose confidence in them. You know, there's still only a select amount of guys that are going to get you, that are assured to get you like 30 plus stolen bases.
Right. Okay. Good stuff. Gentlemen, it's time for the always exciting mailbag segment. Our first email today is from Andrew in Pittsburgh. What? They love us in Pittsburgh.
Wait, where did Pedro go? Who's Andrew?
I know Pedro. I know Alyssa.
Dear Rudy and Gray.
Who are you, Andrew?
I'd like to personally thank you for pushing me towards drafting the Dread Pirate in all my leagues this year. Not only is he a fantasy MVP candidate, he's damn handsome. So that's from Andrew in Pittsburgh, just a bit of a comment there. But okay. I think there's a more serious email we have to look at. This one is from Brandon in San Francisco. Dear Rudy and Gray, when you look at Bruce Bocce, you kind of assume he's intelligent because of the size of his massive head.
It's Bocce.
Bocce, sorry. Well, see, my head isn't as big as Bocce's, so I couldn't tell you that. But anyway, Brandon's question is, how can someone look so intelligent yet not play his young star players? Any comments on that?
You think Bocce's like the Jamaican women who carry their furniture on their head? Like, he's like that all the time. Like, it's like he's balancing a giant bookcase. I think he's referring to
Brandon Belt not getting playing time.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why Belt doesn't play. It's ridiculous. I mean, he has no offense. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. It would be like the Blue Jays saying, no, we're not going to play Kobe Rasmus. I mean, you took the flyer. You got him up there. Give him a shot to play. What else are you doing with him? It's so fucking stupid. Excuse my French.
He gets so mad, man.
That wasn't like, French, man.
I don't know French, but yeah.
Gray loves Brandon Belt.
I just like to see him get an opportunity. You know what I was thinking about the other day with Mark Reynolds, for instance? On most teams, he would have never even got an opportunity to play. He strikes out 30% of the time. I mean, it's ridiculous. On most teams, he would have been a platoon player.
time elsewhere. He strikes out 30% of his at bats and then half the other ones.
Right.
Hold on, I want to hear more angry Gray. Go on.
Okay. And the Reynolds would have been platooned on most teams, but the Diamondbacks gave him a shot. They saw something there. Granted, it was foolish, and he really wasn't a very good baseball player, but at least they gave him a shot. Why can't Brandon Belt just fucking play one year? Just play him. Start to finish. Play him. See what happens. Who do you need? You need Aubrey Huff? I don't see why you need Aubrey Huff. Do you? What is he bringing?
Just for the record, I'll teach you how to swear in French. Here's an easy one, and I'll even anglicize it for you. Tabernacle. Tabernacle.
Tabernacle?
Bingo. Tabernacle. Yeah, it's actually from Tabernacle. All the French swears revolve around the church. But Tabernacle is kind of the equivalent of the F-bomb.
So the French really think the Mormons are really crazy. The fucking choir? What are they doing? Every Christmas.
Tabernacle. Yeah. But there you go. So just you got that one in your back pocket.
Tabernacle. You married your mistress. What?
Tabernacle. Tabernacle.
I think Gray's pissed off Brandon Belt is because every time Bocce then says he's going to play more, we've got to come up with another title, and we've used up every kind of thing you could make with a belt. It's like, how many puns can you make? It's like, one more notch in the belt. Bocce buckles.
I'm going to go all D'Angelo Barksdale on you. That's right. Okay, sorry.
All right.
You can't just throw wire references at
you. You can't just say a name.
There's any context.
Sorry, you're right. I've just finished season two of The Wire, so I'm on a roll. All right, back to baseball.
Package up your ass, Gump.
Jared Parker is having an outstanding rookie campaign, but he's not getting a lot of pub. Is this him, the park, or the fact that he's only been through lineups one or two times, Rudy? Feel free to get angry, Rudy, if you want. If we're ready to see angry Rudy too. So
no, well, I wish we drafted. Oh, I wish we had. Wish we had more. Yeah, we had Parker in more than one league. We have Peacock in a couple leagues. He's done jack shit. I don't think Parker's. I think he's definitely been helped by the good fortune and the park. I think he's gonna be a good pitcher, but I mean he's sub 2.5 ERA right now. I'd expect a correction, but he's definitely startable in a 12-team league, especially at home. Oh, I'd still, great. You know, I'd sit him in a tough road start, but he's pitching great.
Great. You got anything on that?
No. I mean, it's pretty much the same. He's got an under 7 K rate and a 4+ walk rate, so he's not a 2.5 pitcher right now. But yeah, as long as he's hot, ride it.
Great. Here's a guy that makes me angry, Alex Rios. One year, he's an MVP candidate. Like this year. The next, he's terrible. I don't know how to say bipolar in Spanish, but you know what's who's the real Alex?
Bipolo. Dos Polo. I think. I took 13 years of Spanish. Rios. He'll annoy me too. Let's move on. I don't want to talk about Alex. All right. No, I mean we can. Last year he was just really unlucky with his average. He has 15 to 22 homer power and 15 to 22 steal speed. So I mean, as long as he doesn't get completely unlucky with the average, he's good. He's a rosterable third outfielder.
Okay. Yeah, there was something. But, I mean, for him and Dunn to have historically bad seasons. Yeah, almost you have to write last year off.
It's because they couldn't go to the National League to Montreal to find some slump busters. Speaking of guys who found some slump busters, how about Ryan Zimmerman, Rudy? He's been hitting really well lately.
Oh, Gray knows that one. Yeah. Well, he had a Coors correction there, getting to play in Colorado. So I mean that's helped. He's carried it over the last couple games. I feel like the same thing happened to Brandon Moss. It does seem to, I wouldn't bet on it lasting. I mean, he's shown to be a very good hitter in the past. You know, I'll believe it a little more if he sustains it for an extra week. But I mean, if for those that just picked him up, in case like, you know, someone dropped him or stuck with him, I mean, geez, it's like an oasis in a desert of a season.
You know what? Let's not even talk about him, Gray. But tell me, Gray, you see anything with Crispy, Chris Young?
I got Crispy. I feel like he's a little bit more with his injury. He's. I think he's still nursing his shoulder. I don't think he's gonna be right until next year.
Okay. Great. Or sorry, let me give this one to Rudy. Yasmani Grandal just got called up. And other than homering from both sides of the plate in his first game, is there anything to be excited about? Or is it just moot to bring up San Diego Padre hitters?
Yeah, no, generally San Diego hitters are best to forget about. The power's come out of nowhere. He hasn't shown much more than like 12, 15 homer power in the minors. And going to San Diego, that converts to like 3. So he might have hit all his homers already. Right. He might have used them all up. He was considered a great prospect. I mean, the Reds really only traded him as part, got rid, you know, was willing to get rid of him because they had Mesoraco. Right. So I could see him being like, you know, I mean, I think he profiles as eventually a 300 hitter. It might take, you know, it might not do it his first year or two, but yeah, this could be a 315 homer hitter, mate. You know, similar to what maybe Salvador Perez has been showing in KC. So I think he'll be, he's probably ownable, even like, you know, thinking next year's draft in 12 team one catcher. He might, you know, I could see him being a flyer, but don't buy into this power.
Okay. Last question of the day, guys, because we got to go out and get all hooched up for the 4th of July. Great. Mark Reynolds was recently benched for Betemit. Is that like you, or is that like someone getting Corey Haim to play you in the Razzball movie?
Mm-hmm. Well, Corey Haim's dead, so there's a good chance Corey Haim wouldn't be playing me.
Is he dead?
He's dead.
Shit. Tabernacle.
But if someone got a dead Corey Haim to play me in the Razzball movie, that would be similar to Mark Reynolds being bent for Wilson Betemit.
Let's go instead with the other guy, the non-Anthony Michael Hall kid in Weird Science.
All right, actually, Greg, who would play you in the Razzball movie?
Yeah, I actually think Tom Selleck would be pretty good playing
that. You know what? That was my first thought. What about you, Rudy?
You know, I haven't been impressed with the young black Hollywood's afros. So I'm not sure right now. Can you think of anyone that exudes Rudy Gambleness right now in Hollywood?
Ice Cube.
That would be awesome. Ice Cube and Tom Selleck.
Doughboy. Yo, this is Doughboy as Rudy Gamble. Where's my St. Ides, craft service lady?
On that note, it's time to go out and get your St. Ides for the 4th of July weekend. Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. We will be off next week, hungover as hell, in Montreal. With Siamese Beavers. We'll be back the week after that. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Thanks to executive producer Scott Brown and the staff at Glenmore Records. If you ever need great recording studios in the city of Toronto, visit glenmorerecords.com. And a special thank you to Symphony of Nine for the greatest podcast intro song ever. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.